Hello, welcome to the podcast of Startup Recruitment Failures. I'm Indra, founder and CEO of Jobrely. We're building LinkedIn automation platform for outbound recruitment. And today my guest is Pedro Veloso, CEO at Near Partner. Pedro, could you please introduce yourself and your company?
Yeah, welcome. I'm Pedro Veloso. As Indra said, I'm CEO and founder of Near Partner. My background, I did lots of things and founded lots of companies in different industries. The last few were in the IT sector, and I founded Near Partner almost 6 years ago. And Near Partner is a software house. We developed software using whatever technologies is necessary. We are a product company, although we don't have our own products. We develop products for our clients, or okay, our clients' products.
Okay, that's great. And how many people are working at Near Partners?
We are around 50, so I'm not sure if it's 51 or 52 or something like that.
And I guess you had a few recruitment failures if you hired so many people already.
I would say that we try not to have lots of recruitment failures, so we didn't have huge recruitment failures. I would say that our recruitment is the getting together of the experience, the sum of the experience of everybody that works with recruitment in the company. And that's a lot of people, because our recruitment process includes not only the HR people, but also many other people in the company. So we try very much to include as many people as possible into the recruitment process. And so the recruitment process is the sum of all those experience. Nonetheless, I would say that, yeah, we didn't always got it completely right, but I'm more than fairly, I'm very happy with how we got. And so more than failures, we had near misses. And those were very good signals for us of we almost had a failure, and that's what we don't want to do again.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Could you share a situation or a few situations with us, like when you had some misunderstandings when recruiting?
Sure. To give a little bit of context, okay, while recruiting, we look into four things, okay, on regarding the people that we are trying to recruit. And those are: if people are smart, if people are hardworking, if they are honest people, and if they have grit, okay? And besides those, I would not say skills, but those characteristics on the people we are looking for, we try to figure out if there's a cultural fit with them, if they have the same long-term mindset that we have, and if they don't lack professional skills, or how those professional skills are. Okay. And so the biggest near misses we have were around these three things that we try to focus on people. So one, are they good cultural fits with us? And we have a few doubts over the process and over the processes of the several people that we have hired along the way. Obviously, to hire 50 people, we had in process, I don't know how many, but many, hundreds, probably more than that. Sometimes when we were convinced that we wanted to hire the people, we had some doubts. So basically, we are trying to figure out if it's a good person and a good professional. And sometimes we had some doubts, mostly on the cultural fit side, on the personal side. And the conclusion we got was that when we have doubts, we should stick with those doubts and don't hire the person. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, The few times that we thought, no, we maybe should still give it a try, we came to the conclusion that, no, it's better not to do it. And that comes in several, so these near misses, I would say, come in several ways. So people that we actually go to the last phase of the recruitment process and make a proposal, and they don't even come back to us, or they do a U-turn and say, yes, we will accept, and afterwards they will not. That gave us the idea that if we sense that something is not right, probably something is not right.
Yeah.
Usually it doesn't, it's better not. And I'm not even saying that these people were not good persons or had some defects or whatever. I'm just saying that probably they were not the best fit.
Yeah, exactly. But did it happen that you hired someone having doubts and you had to fire?
Yeah, we fired very few people along the years. And by few, I mean a couple of them, I think. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll have to just backtrack a little bit and to give some context. We feel that the hiring process is the first step of onboarding. Okay. Mm-hmm. So basically, from the first moment someone begins the process with us, we are already thinking on the onboarding. We are already on onboarding mode.
That's
okay,
great.
So we are already thinking, okay, these people will probably be here with us or might be working with us, and so mm-hmm. this is already onboarding. Mm-hmm. And I will not go very deep into this, but basically because we think that the onboarding phase is very important to actually make sure that the person feels well being here with us and becomes one of us, basically. So mm-hmm. since the recruiter first calls the person or sends a message or whatever, already they are trying to show, or the recruiter is already trying to show, or whoever, or I, or myself, or any other person that is doing that first step is already trying to show the other person what we stand for, what we are. So that the expectations, and that's the second part, it's very important to manage the expectations from both sides. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so not giving the impression that we are what we are not.
Yeah.
And that can be many flavors. It can be, we are loose and we are not formal. Okay, so someone that doesn't fit well with this mindset might not be a good fit. On the other hand, we try to be very professional. Okay, so as in Portuguese we say, it's loose, but it's not loose in every way. Okay, we are very informal, but we try to be very professional, and we want to be very professional. And there's another thing which is related with money, okay, mm-hmm. which is making them know exactly what are our expectations in terms of salary range. And that's also something very important. We are not very flexible with that. And by this, I mean, I don't mean only that our salary range is what it has to be, but it means that if someone has some expectations that don't fit this salary range, even if people afterwards say, oh, but I like it so much that I can change my expectations and I can have a smaller salary than what I was expecting, we don't accept that, because we know that in the long term, that person will not be happy. Okay, if they are below their considered average salary. Mm-hmm. Okay, so and that sometimes happens. Okay, and so things like this have happened in the past. We try to manage the expectations and be very honest with people, and we expect the other way around also. But sometimes, yes, that has happened. Things like someone that we hired with a salary that was below their expected salary, mm-hmm. and obviously the person accepted it, but we knew that would not work in the long term, or we should have known that would have not worked in the long term. So our expectations were not aligned, and so we have a long term vision and a long term perspective. So we like to hire people for the long term. Obviously, no one is obliged to be here, but just to give you an example, the first seven or eight persons that we have hired are still here with us. Okay,
awesome. So that's very nice.
We can count
how many
with,
years
with the hands,
already?
Almost six.
Oh wow!
Okay, so
this is like unbelievable almost nowadays.
A couple of weeks ago, in our Christmas party, I shared a photo of our first Christmas party.
Yeah.
We were seven, I think, on our first Christmas party, and all the people on the photo are still with us. I'm not only saying only those seven, and afterwards it was a nightmare. No, we tend to. So the average tenure is very long. People usually don't go away. This doesn't mean that no one goes away or that we didn't fire anyone along the way, but we expect not to. So we expect to fully align with someone and fully align for the long term. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we try to look for in the hiring process and be very open with it so that and very honest so that everyone can understand that and so that we don't have misaligned expectations.
This is super important because nowadays you really need, you know, to compete with other companies for the talents. So usually what happens is that companies are like exaggerating, you know, everything about themselves in order to get people to do the work. But yeah, it's a very short-term strategy.
Yeah, recruiting is very difficult nowadays, and attracting talent is difficult in Lisbon, in London,
everywhere,
in Berlin, wherever. Okay, so and it's kind of funny that for the the past few years we have been hearing about retaining people and how to retain people and so on, and we come to the conclusion, but this is not what we are doing. This is what we are. So we don't do things to retain people. We are what retains people. I hope. So it's funny to listen to things like that. And actually, because of the hype of let's do something because it might retain people, and you see posts like that every day and articles and whatever. Every time we do something, I always share that with the team, which is, guys, I don't want to do something just because that might retain people. And we have that. And not only myself, all the other also have that mindset, which is, okay, let's try to be very honest on why we are doing this. We are doing this because we want to do this and because it's good for us. So if in the Christmas party or in the sunset party, or we do a couple of things along the year, and we always have that, let's not do this. And this
artificially.
Actually is, let's not do this artificially or just because the photo will be nice for the.
So everyone on social media.
If someone forgets to take photos, that's not a problem. It's better not to share, but do it than actually sharing it, but not fully doing it.
Yeah. Of course, employer branding is important. But you know, what is the most important, I think, you know, that employees themselves are sharing, like what a great workplace they're working at. And it's like, you know, personal touch then. So it's totally different.
Yeah.
And there are so many companies that look very nice on social media, but when people start working there, they don't stay too long.
And we all know the examples, right? So we all know companies that we know because people work there and tell and things like that, that those are not very good companies to work. But when you look to their social media, it seems like paradise. So and that always gives that sense of that chill. Let's not do this artificially. Let's not look like those guys.
Yeah. I just remembered the TV series about Uber. So when you think about it, like being here in Lisbon and what is happening in Silicon Valley, and this is such a great startup. And I recently started meeting people, ex-employees from Uber, and they just don't want to talk about the culture and everything what happened, because it's just too bad, you know. It's impossible to stay there. So when from far away you look at it, you see it as a miracle, basically, you know. Yeah. But when you are in this, it's totally different. So it's very important, you know, minimize this gap. Otherwise, it's a destruction, which actually happened.
Yeah, you were talking about branding and mm-hmm. company branding, and so attracting brand management mm-hmm. and as a way to also attract talent.
Yeah.
And obviously that plays a part in everything,
sure.
because we don't want to be hermits that don't hire people and that no one knows, because mm-hmm. Obviously we want to hire the best of the best always. Mm-hmm. And the examples that you are giving show us that it's possible to be successful not being your best self.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's possible. And Uber, as an example, like you were saying, is an example of exactly this. But it's also possible to be successful being what you want to be and making sure that people feel happy and comfortable where they are. And for the long term, and as I said before, we always look for the long term. We always have this perspective. Mm-hmm. I think that it's the saying that you cannot fool everybody all the time. So, so we also have very much that conversation. And when we are talking about brand awareness, for instance, mm-hmm. We want our social media, for instance, to show exactly what we are. It should be a window to what we do every day. It should not be an outdoor to show something. It should be a window. It should show exactly what we do. It should not be more.
Totally agree. Plus, you know, for work is, it takes a lot of time of our day, right? So it's our life, basically, right?
Exactly.
So we need to feel good when you come to do something and just to see the purpose and everything, not just to hustle and, you know, to get a lot of money and then to be depressed or something. So there's no point for that. And so when you mentioned that you had to fire a few people, what were the reasons, basically? What did you miss during the interviewing process?
So I can think about the situations very well, because there were, as I told, just a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, two things. One, we didn't actually miss. It was, like I said, we understood and we had the doubts about the mindset of the said candidate and how it would fit our own mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And those doubts revealed that we had different mindsets. So mm-hmm. it was not saying, oh, you're a bad person and we don't want you here. It's more that I don't think you belong here. It was, and every time it was never something of, oh, it was a shock. I was not expecting. No, it was fairly easy to, because we were both coming to the same conclusion. So it was not,
okay.
It was just a matter of, okay, we both came to this conclusion. Let's make it happen. It's better. There's one other thing which has to do with the professional skills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something which is not as easy to get on the recruitment process. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We only missed it once, but actually the situation is, as I said, as we are very informal, it's easy to misinterpret that as lack of professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And at some point that confusion appeared, and that's something.
And what do you mean by that? The lack of the professionalism. So what was the behavior?
What I mean is someone that does not understand that although we have the calendar of, we don't manage the calendar of the person,
mm-hmm.
The hourly time they spend working is flexible, the work hours are flexible, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But work hours being flexible is not the same thing as not being available when it's necessary, and one was expecting to be necessary, okay? So
mm-hmm.
hours are flexible, But what's not flexible is if we set up a meeting, the meeting will happen and will happen and should happen exactly at the time that was set up to happen. So if you miss meetings or if you miss some appointment that you have, okay, it's not like I'm half thinking about this and half thinking about the messages I'm exchanging with some other friend or a game I was playing yesterday. Okay, so those things are perfectly fine outside the work hours. And by work hours, I don't mean 9 to 5, but when you are working. Okay, it can be flexible hours. As long as during that time, you are actually doing what you're expected to do. So, more than understanding if the person has technical skills, is he able to actually do something is different from will he commit to actually doing that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that's harder to find in someone. And that might be, but we were very successful almost always gathering this information and understanding and probably also giving the impression to everyone that was on our recruitment process that this is what we will do. This is what happens every day. Okay. Because it might be also a misinterpretation and a misalignment.
And in that particular case, so how long did it last that you
it was quite fast. And the conclusion we came to was the person was looking into something that might not be a full-time job.
Okay.
That was actually the problem. And it was definitely a misalignment. Okay. So the person got under the impression that it would be okay with us if someone was not fully committed to actually do the job. Okay? And there was a misinterpretation between this flexible hours, flexible days even. But if you're here, you're working. And also, one other thing is some near misses we have and some stories I know of people that didn't come to work with us but ended up working somewhere else. And there's a story I heard recently, which is with the remote work. We don't have any problem with remote work, on the contrary. And for us, it's completely flexible. Okay, so we are not 100% remote and we are not otherwise. We don't have any obligation to, you have to come 1 day, 2 days, 7 days, whatever. People come or they don't come whenever they want. Or better said, they work remotely or they work in the office whenever they want. And so that means that we have people that come to the office every day and people that almost never come to the office. But with the remote, we don't have that problem because we try to hire people who are responsible and can self-motivate themselves, because motivation might be a problem when you are working remotely. But again, that also can be misleading, and because of that, we try to in the process make it very clear that we don't have any problem with people working remotely every day, but we have problems if people don't work, whether remotely or here. Okay,
Okay, great. So to conclude, what would be your main advice for other hiring managers?
I think that the main things, the three main things are we try to manage expectations. And so I will say what we have learned, and most of it we learned happily previously to actually near partner, to coming to near partner, which is managing the expectations and be very honest on what you will get once you come here and what you can leave here. The second thing is onboard from day one. Okay, so onboarding begins with the recruitment process. Okay, the person is already learning your ways. Okay, so if in the recruitment process you do something which is the opposite of what you expect to happen during the the normal work, it will not work well. And the third thing is when people actually come on the first day to the job, prepare that. And we try to prepare it. And so we try to begin the onboarding when we begin the recruitment. But when they actually come, we try to have it prepared and the team prepared to receive the person and everything prepared for that, for the person. So that the first impression is very important, not because of the looks of it, but so that the person feels welcomed. And so that's very important.
Okay, great. So thank you so much, Pedro, for your time and sharing your stories. And thank you to all the listeners. For more podcasts, please visit jobreli.com.